The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com. Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager on the sad day in the United States. There's no way around that. It's hard to imagine that there was anybody not affected. Society has always felt that it protects its kids. That's the primary task of adults, is to protect children. And another child just walked in and murdered. What is the number up to? 19 now?
Well, there's 21.
21 now?
18 children,
3 adults. Mm. The ripple effect of all of this are so extensive. The children who survived will not be the same. Adults are not the same when they see people murdered. And when they were the targets, but they somehow avoided being killed. This is a great example of where a religious family has much, much greater shock absorbers than a secular family. As a general rule, every rule has exceptions, including that rule, presumably. So the ripple effect to the siblings, to the parents, to the relatives, to the friends, and of course to the kids in the school, and especially the kids in the class, it's one of those things you can have deep, deep feelings about, but you cannot empathize with because you haven't experienced it. Empathy demands an ability to feel what another feels, but you have to feel it. You feel it only if you have experienced it. I have a number of things to say about what happened. The immediate reactions of Democrats and the entire media, guns. That's their simplistic, staggering, simplistic answer. Guns. That's it. More gun laws, that'll do it. And if you don't want more gun laws, you are for the murder of children. That's actually what they say. Well, if we're going to talk about guns, let me ask you a question, if you want, since that's been opened up as the dominant issue, as usual. If you were going to try to kill kids and teachers, it's a question I asked in Sandy Hook. Would you target a school where you knew that some people were armed, or a school that boasted that it was a gun-free zone? This is a great example of a totally common sense question. The left speaks of common sense gun control. Anything that accords with common sense, I'm for. So, do you hold the same that if it's common sense, you're for it? Why do we not have armed teachers, armed adults at schools, people trained in the use of weapons? Why is it harder to get into an office building in Manhattan than in most schools? The idea that people should not be able to protect themselves strikes me as absurd. But we live in the age of absurdity. Actually, as the name of my column a couple of weeks ago, the age of absurdity. It's what we live in. You're expected to believe the absurd, that unarmed people are a better response to armed violence than armed people. Do you understand the idiocy that is contained in that belief? I don't even know, and I spend my life reading things I don't agree with, I don't even know the argument against it. What is the argument against trained adults being armed in schools? That it is better to leave kids unprotected? What is the argument? What do you think would prevent more school shootings? Increased adults with arms or more gun laws? It's a fair question. I'd like to know what gun laws would have prevented this kid from getting a gun. That you cannot buy a gun at the age of 18? I haven't heard that suggested. I think that's a debatable point. My belief is that we need more fathers much more than we need more gun laws. The shooter, the child who did this, teenager who did this, apparently shot his grandmother at home? So there's no word about his parents. Did he have parents? Did he live with parents? Did he live with one parent? Did he have a father in his life? There's no mention of that. I don't know why there's no mention of it. Maybe there's good reason for it. Maybe he didn't have a father in his life. When I gave you the data yesterday from Heather McDonald about the number of murders of blacks by other blacks, 7,000 I think it was, how many of those murderers had fathers in their lives? So I would like to ask everybody on the left who is passionate, I would say perhaps hysterical about guns, but just leave it as passionate. If you could have a wish fulfilled, would you like a father in every home or a gun removed from every home? Which do you think would do better? Do you think that criminals would then have no access to guns if every home gave up a gun or gave up two guns versus if every home had a father? People raised by fathers on earth and in heaven. And I know that if you're on the left, the idea of belief in God and organized religion, these ideas strike you as moronic. That's what you were taught. Did you question anything you were taught by your woke school? And schools were woke for a long, long time. Much of what is taught today, I learned at Columbia in the 1970s. Kids with a father at home and a father in heaven don't shoot people. Unless maybe self-defense. It's a phenomenon how little this is talked about. No reason an atheist couldn't agree with what I said. Any of these shooters attend church that previous Sunday? 1-8-PRAGER-776. 877-243-7776. Do we need more fathers or more gun laws? Do we need more God and religion or more gun laws? Which do you think would be more effective in producing fewer murderers in our country? As the country becomes more and more lost in its secular morass, chaos ensues. That's what we're living through. Gun laws, that'll do it. Bigger government, that's what we need. Not a bigger God, not a bigger father, a bigger state.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Rising interest rates, stock volatility, out-of-control inflation. People are concerned about what the future holds financially. This is Dennis Prager for AmFed Coin and Bullion. There's no better time than the present to move a portion of your IRA into precious metals. Gold and silver IRAs are more popular than ever, and dealers are advertising heavily for your business. You should know there's a right and a wrong way to set up your precious metals IRA. Mistakes could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in IRS fines. Nick Grovin, man I completely trust, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has agreed to send you a concise report about how to set up your IRA and how to get the best bang for your buck. Nick and his team will be happy to help you set up your precious metals IRA or review your current account. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, for your free IRA report and all your precious metals needs. AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com. So let's see, what do the hysterical have to say? This is actually a statement by a member of Congress, Ruben Gallego, a Democratic fool from Arizona. He tweeted at another congressman, Representative Daryl Issa, Republican, California, F your prayers. They haven't worked for the last 20 mass shootings. How about passing laws that will stop these killings? What law will stop these killings? There is a law that will stop these killings. Thou shalt not murder. Think these kids were raised with that? That's the best law to stop killings I know of. More gun control will not stop these types of killings. There are too many guns out there. But you can stop killings, to begin with, by killing the killers. They start to shoot. Somebody armed gets into the room and shoots the kid. Usually a kid. Doesn't end every death, but it ends a number of deaths. An infinitely precious kid is now not dead. He also tweeted, this Ruben Gallego, to Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz of Texas, just to be clear, F you at Ted Cruz, you effing baby killer. Scum like Gallego that get into Congress, are, I have to say, is a reflection on the people who vote for these people. If a Republican did something like that, I would assume I would say the same thing. Ted Cruz is an effing baby killer? So the question I always ask is, do bad people just all, or not all, but mostly gravitate to the left? Or does left make you bad? I think it's both. I think he felt he has permission from his left-wing colleagues in the Democratic Party to tweet F.U. to a senator and call him a baby killer. He's a baby killer. Would you have liked Gallego Would you have liked an armed adult at that school? Are you a baby killer because you wouldn't want kids to be protected? Can you please tell me what law would have been passed that would have stopped almost any of these murders? What laws would work? I'd like to know. If you know a law that would end baby killing or adult killing, I would be very interested in knowing what that law might be. Confiscate every handgun in America? Every rifle? Do we even know, by the way, what guns he used? I keep seeing references to a rifle and a handgun.
That's pretty much it.
Is that right?
He assault rifles on his 18th
birthday. So what?
We don't know what he used, but we don't know that he used them.
All right. So I don't know why it isn't known. One long rifle. So that's not an assault gun, what they call assault gun. So we don't know yet, okay. This is an amazing thing. This is a real scummy human being, this Gallego. Wow. Called Ted Cruz a effing baby killer. He's a member of Congress. I'd like to look up more about this Ruben Gallego. It's not possible to embarrass the Democratic Party, so I can't even say he brings shame on his party. That is not possible to shame the Democratic Party further than it is at this point. Then another brilliant mind, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she said as follows, and I'm going to deal with this. There's no such thing as being pro-life while supporting laws that let children be shot in their schools, or elders in grocery stores, worshippers in their houses of faith, survivors by abusers, or anyone in a crowded place. Okay, so let me understand that. You're not pro-life while you support laws that let children be shot. Right. What laws do we support that let children be shot? That people can buy weapons with background checks, etc., etc. I don't know what she means. Well, I know what she means, but it doesn't make any sense. It is an idolatry of violence. Ooh, an idolatry of violence. Well, I wish there had been one other form of violence at this school, the shooting of this little monster, much sooner than he was shot. Maybe it's you, Ocasio-Cortez, who have an idolatry of helplessness. Just a thought. There was another statement. I wish I could find it on this issue about the pro-life people. I gotta find it about if you're pro-life. Oh yes, Nancy Pelosi, with regard to the Archbishop who said she shouldn't get communion because as a Catholic, you shouldn't be supportive and indeed instrumental in keeping abortion legal. She said, oh, really? Then are you going to give communion to a Catholic who's pro-capital punishment? Mm-hmm. I'd like to deal with that, too. I'm Dennis Prager, and we continue.
The Dennis Prager Show.
Towels just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the store, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, Mike Lindell at MyPillow found that out around 2006, and towels changed forever. He found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And that happens to be true. I use them. They are all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Six-piece set, two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths. Regularly $109.99, now $39.99. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels, by entering the promo code PRAGER. Or call 800-761-6302 for these great radio specials. MyPillow.com, promo code PRAGER. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. This is the second hour of my Wednesday show, and it should be the male-female hour. And we always debate if we ever postpone, really not postpone, that's foolish, cancel a dedicated hour like the Ultimate Issues Hour, male-female hour, or happiness hour. Those are treasures that I treasure, if I might be a little redundant here. But it's really, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't know if appropriate is not the word. I think people are tuning in to hear you and me about the massacre of children that took place in Texas yesterday. It's the toll right now is 21, 19 kids and two adults. And there's some very ugly stuff out there. The ugliest has come from actually a congressman, Gallego, who's really a lowlife. He's a Democrat in Arizona. I mean, this is a very bad thing when a congressman curses out fellow members of Congress. Tweeted to Daryl Issa, F your prayers. I'd like to know if he actually did F or did the word. See if you could find that, okay? Gallego tweet to Daryl Issa. And he tweeted to Senator Ted Cruz, just to be clear, F you, Ted Cruz, you effing baby killer. So you're a baby killer if you don't go along with left-wing law suggestions for gun control. I by the way, it's so rare that I hear what actually would do good, because I'm open to it. I'm a big believer in common sense. I'm also a big believer in gun ownership. I used to not be. I was not opposed, but I was not a believer. I didn't grow up with guns in my home. But I think the founders were right that it is critical for people to be able to defend themselves against criminals and against a tyranny. And if you don't think a tyranny like Europe had could come to the United States, you're living in a bubble. As I wrote 2 years ago about the lockdowns, this was a dress rehearsal for a police state. I tragically believe that. The acquiescence of people in the West, New Zealand, Australia here, the acquiescence to shutting down people's lives for no particularly good reason in most cases, has been a sobering experience for me. Talking about shutdowns, interesting to know how many kids have become imbalanced as a result of 2 years of no school, 2 years of very little contact with other kids, 2 years of being masked, not seeing faces. You have to be a fool, truly a fool, I mean, and indeed one who wants to be a fool, to believe that a lot of kids have not been adversely affected. I don't claim that that is the reason for this kid's murderous outburst. I don't. But I don't believe that it is coherent not to take into account the mental effects of these 2 sick years of no school, because teachers' unions, whom I fear much more than the NRA, you pick your fears, right? There are those who think the NRA has done more damage to American kids. And there are those who think that teachers' unions have done more damage to American kids. That's a defining question in the life of an American. Teachers' unions are so so destructive of children's lives, so destructive of our schools. They were the ones adamant about not opening up school because they don't give a damn about kids. They're just leftist groups. They're woke in the extreme. And they basically control much of the Democratic Party. That was told to me about 25 years ago by one of the most prominent Democrats in California. He was a household name at the time. He's been retired for at least a decade. We had been friends for quite a while. I am not saying his name because he told it to me in confidence. Lifelong Democrat, one of the most powerful in the state of California. The teachers' unions control the Democratic Party in California. So I believe that we have to be very wary about the effects of the lockdowns on children, because even the New York Times, which is a dishonest newspaper, but sometimes publishes accurate things, it can't only be inaccurate, has had article after article about the devastating effect of no school for 2 years on kids, especially, in its view, especially Hispanic and black kids. This was a Hispanic kid killing Hispanic kids. Does he have a father in his life? There's no mention of any relative other than the grandmother that he shot. Was he living with his grandmother? Where is his father in particular? Where is his mother? As I have put it all of my life, I think more fathers would be more effective than more gun laws. It's another important clarifying question that you might want to ask people. The bottom line is also, aside from that, that's one of the bottom lines, but here's another one. Guards at school, armed people at schools. There's something wrong with the way you think if you do not want adults armed at schools. There is. There's just something wrong with the way you think. I don't even know. Well, let me analyze it, okay? I'm going to try to analyze why someone would be opposed to people having arms in schools. And I'll tell you what I think it is. And this is sort of spontaneous. But under pressure, which is the way I like to think, under pressure, I would say that if they acknowledged that armed adults at schools might deter killings or at least save lives when a killing spree began, then they would be put in the difficult cognitive dissonance position of acknowledging that guns can be good, and they don't want to acknowledge that. I think that's the primary reason why someone would so irrationally oppose armed adults at schools, or even an armed guard. But an armed guard in front of the school is difficult because it's quite easy to take the guard out if you want to go in. I assume it is. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But in any event, certainly an armed guard and certainly people inside. I asked in the Connecticut massacre, Stony Brook. Is that right, the name, Stony Brook?
Was it Stony
Brook? No, what was the name of the school in Connecticut? And I asked then, what school is more likely to be attacked? One with a sign, this is a gun-free zone? Or one with a sign, beware armed adults? Which do you think? I should put a series of questions up for people to answer since so often the left says common sense legislation. Got the name? Names and I are not companions. Which do you think would be more likely to be attacked? Sandy Hook. That's it. Sandy. Oh, so I got them both wrong. Stony Brook. I'm very grateful to God for the mind I got, but he did put in a lacuna names. 1-8-PRAGER-776 is the number. Which school would you rather send your kids to? Gun-free zone or the other? That should be clarifying. We return. Okay, everybody, Dennis Prager here. Christopher in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi there.
Hi, Dennis. Thanks for taking my call. The thing that I am always curious about is the fact that U.S. and Canada has essentially the exact same culture. I mean, we watch the same programming as you. We listen to the same music. We have the same mental health issues. But we don't have the school shootings. And I'm just curious if you think that in any way the easy access to firearms, obviously in the U.S., 120.5 firearms per 100 residents. It's more than double the closest country. Do you think that it has any effect on that? Do you think that it has anything to do with it whatsoever? Yes, you do. You admit that.
I don't know how you can't admit that.
Okay, so you think that they should change the gun laws to make the access a little bit less? Like, you think that
that's the question? The question. Look. If there were literally no firearms in America, these things wouldn't happen. But that's but that's like saying if there were no bad people, these things wouldn't happen. There are firearms and there are bad people. So living in the real world, what do you suggest we do?
I would say gun reform is important.
What does that mean? What does it mean? Since you already acknowledge how many firearms are out there. So I answered your question. Yeah. I'll ask you a question. Do you think that there are any laws we in America could pass that would make it almost impossible for bad people to get weapons?
I don't think almost impossible. I think if you look at the Texas
law, how about difficult?
Recently changed.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, if you look at the Texas law that was recently changed, changing the age from 21 to 18, in this particular case, that law in itself would have at least certainly helped to prevent this massacre.
That's a fair statement. I can't refute it
right now. So why are Republicans pushing for to have less strenuous gun laws in the wake of tragedy?
Because there are honorable arguments on both sides, and I see your argument, and I don't think you see their argument. That they should.
I do see the argument, and I believe that it is the fact that at some point the government might decide to come after you, and you need to be able to defend yourself against the state. I do understand that concept. I do, but I think the ease which people have access to firearms in the United States.
Bad. What is the statement? I forgot. Bad cases make bad laws. Something like that. I don't know how much there is to be learned from something so rare. Thank God. I mean, school shootings are rare in the United States.
Depends on how you look at it. I mean, the school shootings worldwide, they're not rare at all in comparison to other shootings. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know that that's true. I don't think we read.
True.
I don't. Well,
it
I.
Is,
I, I don't.
It's true, Dennis.
Okay.
They
all right.
Have,
fine.
Have,
okay. So right. So fair data. Enough. Well, I don't know. Okay. I'm not disputing you.
Why don't you read the data if you're talking?
No.
Radio host talking to a national audience.
Right.
And you're saying, oh, I don't even know about this.
No. I don't think you know about it. I don't think.
I have it in front of me.
What do you have in front of you?
I'm looking at statistics of school shootings between a period of time in countries, the United States versus different countries. I'm looking at the statistics
What countries are listed on there? Do you have Eastern European countries? Do you have Russia?
Yes.
Okay. If you're telling me the truth, then it is a fair question.
I am.
Okay, then fine. Yeah. So there are more here, but it's still... Okay, wait. Look, please don't... Okay, you keep talking over me. It's very hard for me to talk. Let me understand. Let me just understand. So let us say that every state said, okay, 21 is the age. What would you then do? Would you call me up and say, I am now satisfied that America is doing something? Or would you want more laws? Be honest.
I mean, it's... I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know what would happen in that circumstance. I don't know what the fallout and what would happen in the wake of that. So I don't know. I certainly think that would not. I agree with you. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, oh, they're going to keep pushing for more.
They are. There's no doubt in my mind.
My personal feeling is that is not enough to cover it. That is not enough to cover it. I think there are simple reforms, and of course, I'm not a politician. I'm not the smartest man in the world, but there are certain reforms that other countries have made. You know, my country and Australia and New Zealand, and Scotland, certain things that have been done that have been
passed. But it's not doable. It's not doable here. They took away vast numbers of weapons and made it almost impossible for people outside of hunters and sportsmen to get them. So it's not possible. You opened up correctly, noting how many weapons already exist in the United States. Do you think gang members in the inner city in the United States, in any inner city, do you think they won't have weapons if we adopt Canadian law? Please tell me what you think.
I mean, you are correct in a sense, and it's so sad because
you're right. It is sad.
The Republican Party has pushed this so far that yes, there's
no. Well, this is okay.
In the United States, that it's gone too far, and now
all right. So you've now changed. All right,
because of the policy.
All right. Okay. So. Okay, I'm glad you called. I always take the calls that differ with me first, and you're fine. See, this is what happens. But because Republicans allowed weapons to begin with, we have the problem. Okay. All right. Even if that were true, although we've had Democrats were not against guns 100 years ago in this country. In 1920, there were plenty of guns in this country. Al Capone had machine guns. I think machine guns were even legal for a period of time until they were outlawed. That machine gun is an automatic weapon. You press the trigger and it keeps shooting. You don't have to keep pulling the trigger. I think that the social breakdown is a bigger cause than guns, but I have no doubt. If we had no guns, of course this wouldn't happen. But that's as likely as saying if we had no bad people. So the question is what would work? And that's why I return to my questions. Would armed adults at schools be more effective than gun laws? And to me, there's no question about that. So the question is, do you hate guns or do you hate gun violence? If you hate gun violence, then let's stop gun violence by killing the bad guys with guns. That's what a mature reaction would be, in my opinion. I think that would do more than changing the laws to 21 years of age. And by the way, I think there's an argument for it, but I also think there's an argument against it. We allow 18-year-olds to have pretty powerful weapons in the armed forces. You say, well, it's controlled. It's not controlled. Remember the guy who shot up, the Islamist who shot up his fellow soldiers at Fort Hood? We'll be back. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. I've devoted the show thus far to the horrific school shootings in Texas. And the usual responses, but they're even more virulent than ever. Immediately, it's gun laws. I'd like to know what gun laws... Well, one, which is worth debating, is... Should you be able to get a gun at 18 or only at 21? It would have zero impact on gang violence. And what you just saw now is extremely rare. It's emotionally understandable to have reactions to one event. I mean, this is not the only school shooting, obviously, although I did read to you, and it is not insignificant, the school shootings that have taken place in Europe in the last 25 years. And as I pointed out, you have to compare America to all of Europe, 300 million to 300 million. You can't compare America to Germany or to France or Hungary or whatever. You got to have to compare it to all of Europe. And it is true. If there were no guns in the United States, there would be no gun violence. There would be violence, but there wouldn't be gun violence. But since you can't get rid of all the guns, you have to deal with the reality as it exists. That's redundant. You have to deal with the reality. Reality does exist. And I'd like to know what we should do. My view is more fathers would be more helpful than more gun laws. My view is that more religion and God in kids' lives would be more effective than more gun laws. How many people in general, how many murderers went to church regularly prior to their committing murder? I don't mean a family killing. The family murder is universal. It is tragic. It is, but it's a different subject. But how many people, how many murderers went to church that week? It is not even considered, because we're really not talking about guns. It's an important thing for people to understand. The passion on both sides is not about guns as guns. They represent something more to both sides. And one big aspect, if not the biggest, is should the state be the only entity that has guns? For the left, the answer is yes. For the right, the answer is no. That's really, underneath it all, that is really the subject. The left believes in essentially unlimited power of the state, including to shut you up. The use of the Department of Justice now to jail dissenters, what has been done to people who went into Congress on January 6th, people still in solitary confinement, beaten in prisons, whereas nothing analogous happened to almost anyone in the incredibly violent riots of 2020, because those rioters had the ideology of the Democratic Party, and the rioters, if you wish to call them, of January 6th, did not. And the fact that they wanted to have even a commission, which they have now postponed. What was it called again? Disinformation Unit, whatever, what was it called? Disinformation Governance Board? Governance. Yeah, Governance Board. Yes, the DGB as opposed to the KGB. That's right. I should have remembered that, the DGB, Disinformation Governance Board. That is an important thing. The real passions come from something way deeper than just guns. The power of the state versus the power of the individual. The hatred of the founders of this country on the part of the left is not because they had slaves. It is because of their ideas. And their ideas were that the individual should be more powerful than the state. They don't like that. The left everywhere is for power. And America was founded to profoundly limit the power not only of the state, but even of the majority. That's why there's a U.S. Senate, and that's why there is an Electoral College. The left is exactly correct. The founders did not believe in pure democracy. They keep talking democracy, but we didn't found a democracy. We founded a republic. Not the same thing. The individual is to be powerful. The bigger the state, the smaller the citizen. It's a statement I came up with years ago. We have a bumper sticker if you want to put it on your car.
The bigger the government, the smaller the citizen.
Yes. Thank you, David. Congressman David Dreyer, a true gentleman, good man. He liked that line, and he recorded it, as it were. That's what the ultimate issue is about. But it is amazing how little power they want people to have to take care of themselves, that they wouldn't even want armed adults at schools. That is a giveaway. Only the police should have weapons. And, of course, they want fewer police, which is really a terrific idea in a society that has the amount of violence we do, or any society. So that's what it is. That's really what the gun debate is about, the power of the state versus the power of the individual. And so you have two risks. You have the risk that the state will use its power irresponsibly, and you have the risk that individuals will use their power irresponsibly. Again, that's a left-right divide. We on the right fear government more than we fear individuals. That's correct. The 100 million people, non-combatants, not talking war, 100 million people that were killed by governments in the 20th century is considerably more than individuals have killed. The state is a very scary thing. The state is the mother of genocide, just for the record. I know none of your kids will ever study anything like this. There is no school in America, almost none. Can't say none, virtually none. Certainly I can't think of a college that will tell you the state is the author of all the genocides. The only exception was the one in Rwanda. That was pure ethnic tribal genocide when the Hutus massacred the Tutsis. By the way, that massacre, how many people, can you look that up? It was a staggering number of people in a very short period of time. And it was all done by machete. Not guns. Machetes. Amazing how many people you can murder without a gun. So I will tell you that there are risks on both sides. There's risks when you have a lot of individuals having guns. And there's a risk when only the state has guns. That's it. And I fear the state more than I fear the individuals. I do. And I have the data, to use my caller from the last hour. A big fan of data, so am I. The data are overwhelmingly in favor of fear of big governments than they are of armed individuals. That's what this debate is ultimately about. That's what the passions are ultimately about. They're not about hunters on either side. 1-8-PRAGER-776, back in a moment. Public education has gone off the rails. Parents and teachers have had enough. Watch the groundbreaking new documentary, Whose Children Are They? Today on SalemNow.com. Go to SalemNow.com. Hello, my friends. I'm Dennis Prager. We've been talking about the horror in Texas with the, what are we up to, 19 and 2, 19 children and 2 adults? When you think about the trauma of the kids who witnessed this, the whole thing is beyond belief. But it happened. I've been talking about it for the last 2 hours and a half, 2.5 hours. And now I have Ami Horowitz on. Ami Horowitz does these extraordinary videos around the world, actually, asking people questions, and it's very illuminating. So in New York, he went and asked people if they should, if they wanted to abolish the Supreme Court. I have Ami on the line. You can watch us, by the way, at, what is it, Salem News Channel. You can watch us. You can watch the show if you like. Ami, you're looking good.
Ah, thank you, Dennis. Likewise. What a pleasure to watch you while we speak. Technology, baby.
You crack me up, Ami. Ami is a fellow cigar smoker, ladies and gentlemen. I thought that was important to add. So, Ami, you decided, I take it that this is in Midtown Manhattan, correct?
This is the East Village.
Okay.
Woke capital of New York.
Okay, that's fair. Good, I know. That's an honest answer. You went to a woke area. And you asked people essentially two questions. Is the Supreme Court legitimate and should it be abolished? Is that correct?
Three questions, each one leading to the next one. So the first one is it legitimate, right? Because we hear on the news all the time. Well, first of all, it's the irony, of course, is that they are always asking, they're always saying that the left is always saying the Republicans, the right, are the ones that don't care about democracy and democratic structures, right? So I want to turn it around on them, because obviously you and I know, and most of your listeners know, that the people who actually don't have fidelity to our democratic foundations, our democratic ideals, is the left. So I use the Supreme Court as the example to exemplify how, in fact, they're the ones who don't care about our democratic structures and ideals. They have no fidelity to it. So I asked them, starting with, do they believe the Supreme Court in and of itself is a legitimate organization, a legitimate organ of the government? And then I took it a step further and I asked them, do you think the Supreme Court should be abolished straight up? And then the last one was taking it to the next level, the next logical conclusion. Should we have, and I use this word, an insurrection against the Supreme Court? Should we violently attack the Supreme Court? And in all three answers, the vast majority of people who spoke to me answered the affirmative, that yes, it should be.
Wow. So I guess I missed the third one. So you actually asked if there should be a violent what? What would they do? Just bomb the Supreme Court? I don't even understand what a violent takeover of the Supreme Court would entail.
Well, depending on who you ask, but it went from an insurrection. In other words, doing what the right did in the Capitol is storm the building, take it over.
They took it over for a few hours. I mean, it wasn't an insurrection, obviously. So what would they like to be done? I'm not even challenging them.
They want to see it gone. And if that means using physical violence to get rid of it, that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So did anybody, I always ask you this, because I know everybody who watches your videos asks, do you cherry pick your answers? So did anybody that you ask say, no, I think the Supreme Court is a viable institution?
So when I asked the first question, which was, does it have any legitimacy? One person said that it does. One, I probably spoke to 40, 50 people. I would say a somewhat larger, but very small number, maybe three or four, said it shouldn't be abolished. And I would say only about seven or eight people said we shouldn't have a physical attack on the building.
And you spoke to about 45 people?
40, 50 people, yeah.
You know, you might want to do a follow-up and ask people about the U.S. Senate. Because the left doesn't think the Senate is legitimate because Wyoming and California have the same number of senators. It's the whole institution is not democratic. I'll be back in a moment. Ami Horowitz's video and all his videos can be seen at amihorowitz.com and it's up at dennisprager.com. They're really worth watching and they're all timeless because they ask timeless questions. I mean, the people that he has talked to is quite remarkable when he went to the Middle East. Dennis Prager here. Thanks for listening to the Daily Dennis Prager Podcast. To hear the entire 3 hours of my radio show, commercial-free, every single day, become a member of Pragertopia. You'll also get access to 15 years' worth of archives, as well as the daily show prep. Subscribe at Pragertopia.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.